So it'd be something, everybody looking for the new year to come and it don't come. Rapture take place, amen. Now time would go on, there'd be a tribulation, we know that. But not for us, amen. Thank the Lord. But until that happens, until the Lord comes, until the Lord raptures the believers out and changes these vile bodies, then we are to strive every day to continue in the things that our Lord has taught us, don't we? And to do those things that the Lord has commanded us to do. And He, being Lord, you listen to what I'm saying, Him being Lord has the right to command us. Amen? We live under grace. We live under God's grace. Thank God for that. But at the same time, our Lord still commands us. Commands us. He commanded us to love one another. Didn't He? These commands that our Lord, listen, if God saves a man, He'll save him so that He can command him. And you get somebody that can't be commanded, it makes me worry about their salvation. We should willingly accept the commands of our Lord. Amen. And desire to be the servant that Paul spoke of. In Luke chapter number 9, we've got a lot to go through this morning. And but I want to go right on down to the very end of the chapter to take our text. And verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to talk to you just for a little while this morning about the high cost of being a disciple. The high cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Of course, our salvation does not cost us anything. Being saved, being born again, having our sins washed away It was a high cost for our Lord. He gave his life, didn't he? Sure that he did. Died on the cross. Suffered the way that he did. Bore our sins in his body on the cross. That we could have life. Freely. Freely have life. It is the gift of God, the Bible said. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'm not talking about being saved and having salvation. I'm talking about being a disciple. Following the Lord. Really following Christ the way that one should. The way that the Bible tells us. Now listen, I'm not here to try to show you or me how short we've come up. Because we all come short. Amen? But this is to help us to grow in our Christian walk, in our dedication, in our effort to really walk for Christ, to have some things settled in our mind and in our heart the way that they should be if we're to follow Him and be a servant for Him. Amen? Because I'll be the first to say that as far as serving Him the way that we're going to see in Luke chapter 9, I've come short. And I think the next man would come short. But this is real dedication. This is real hardship, if you want to say it that way, put into really loving our Lord. That's where the key is. Loving Him. Because when you love somebody, it's not hard to do what you want to do for them. And it's not hard to follow them. It's not hard to obey the command. And so we have right here in this one part, and I want to look back in the chapter, but we'll get back to this. The problem here is there were men. A certain man first said, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus told him, more or less, if you follow me, you may not have a place to lay your head. Because the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. Do you understand what it means to really follow him? Because sometimes that means you may do without. You may do without the comforts of this life to really follow him. You may lose some sleep. You may have some hard nights on the ground, amen? That's what he's saying here. Do you understand what it means when you say, "Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest"? Because what you're saying is, "Lord, I'll walk wherever you walk. I'll sleep where you sleep. I'll go where you go. I'll eat when you eat. I'll drink when you drink. I'll partake of what you partake. Lord, I will follow thee." Thee. Him. Our Lord. Listen. So he told him about how the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. They have homes. Places out of the wind, places to sleep. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He did not take the time to make sure that his life, as far as on the earth, was taken care of. It was taken care of where he laid his head that night. He didn't have a home to go back to, you see. He didn't have a bed that he always resorted back to. It was wherever he was. That's where his bent was. He said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first. And here's the problem. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Suffer me first. God, I've got some things I want to do first, and then I'll come. He is either first or he's not. If we have to do something first, then it's first and he's not first. Now that's not too hard. That's what our Lord's saying. Many men have said, Lord, I'll do it, but first I've got to take care of this. Lord, I'll obey you, but first I've got to do this or I've got to do that. I mean, think about how it is that you follow the Lord. Lord, I will follow you, but if there are certain things happen, I have to take care of them first. It should never be that we have to do anything above follow the Lord. Following the Lord, following his commands. And we know what his commands are, but we make light of his commands. We make very light of the commands of our Lord. Lord, I'd be faithful, but first I've got to do this. But I have to do this. Listen, all through this chapter, you'll go all the way back. Our Lord is teaching his disciples about what it is to really follow him. And the high cost of it, because it costs something. If we're going to experience the touch and the power of our Lord in our life and really walk with him on water, amen, it's going to cost something. There's no such thing as easy Christianity. There's no such thing as easy discipleship. Listen, there's great joy in following the Lord and great peace in following the Lord. But it's when that spiritual man is where he needs to be is when you'll find that. You'll never find it making your flesh or my flesh comfortable in this world. We'll never find that kind of joy and that liberation of soul. Are you listening to me? I mean, to where every atom in your body seems to jump up and down and scream glory to his name. If we're always doing for it first. He has to be first. He wants to be first. I think our Lord would just love for somebody to put him first. Amen? Men, you want your wife to put you first. Wives, you want the man, the husband, you want him to just put you first. Amen? Isn't that the way that it is? In our life, we're just like somebody that we mean more to them than anybody else means to them. Well, wouldn't that be good if we felt that way about our Lord? I mean, if we just always showed him that, Lord, you mean more to me than anybody else means to me. Lord, I'll do for you before I'll do for anybody else. God, if there's anything that you've commanded me to do, I'll do what you want me to do before I'll do what anybody else wants me to do. Now, back at the beginning of the chapter, he sent his disciples when he had called the 12 disciples together. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now, think about this. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They're up for that. And he said unto them, first taste first taste of not taking care of self. Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. In other words, don't be a bum. Don't lay in on them people. Amen? That's what he's telling them. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. That sounds a whole lot like the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You go into a place, you find if somebody will bid you to come in, then you come in. You lay there and then you go. Day by day, don't take anything for your journey. Don't take your staves, your scrip, no bread, no money, not two coats. In other words, I will provide everything you need. I've given you power and authority over the devils, power to heal sickness. Just trust me to take care of you. You go from town to town and you don't be restricted by anything. Do not think of yourself first. Think of others. Think of the mission. Think of what I have bid you to do. Do the work that I have bid you to do. And they departed, went through the towns, preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. I mean, you talk about excitement among these disciples. And it's happening right before their eyes. Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done of them. He was perplexed because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. Because, see, John lived that way. And Jesus didn't even ask him to live that way. That's why there was none greater born of a woman than John. He went about preparing the way of the Lord before the Lord ever asked him to prepare the way. He went out being a light. He was not that light, but preparing a way for the light. Some of them thought he was Elias and had appeared, and of others. And one of the old prophets was risen again. Why? Because that's the way the old prophets lived. They lived walking with God, going out wherever God would send them. Speaking what God would bid them say. Doing only what the Lord had them to say. And many thought that it was so. Now they had come to the feeding of 5,000 and the apostles. They're not disciples anymore. They've moved up. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. Verse 10. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Stay with me. And the people, when they knew it, followed him and received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go down into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. Send them away. Now he's fixing to bring them to the next step. Realizing the limitations of weak instruments, but also that with God there is unrealized power. Here they said, it's a desert place. We don't have much. Verse 13, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the Lord is going to show them how to prepare for so many, to prepare for the blessing. And you and I, listen, if we're going to be blessed, we should prepare for blessings. Isn't it right that we should prepare for blessings? He said, make them sit down in companies. He's preparing to bless them. They just wasn't all weaving in and out together and, people talking over here and others talking. No, he made them sit down in 50s and got them ready for something, to expect something, to expect something. They were preparing for the blessing. And then he took the 5 loaves and the fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. He showed them the breaking of the bread. It's a picture of the breaking of his body. The preparation of the blessing, the breaking of the bread, the multitude fed. Why? Because he looked to God, the all-powerful, the one whom we are serving. Now, when he was done with this, and there was an abundance left over, and this abundance was of divine supply. You see, isn't that what a miracle is? Isn't that what a blessing is? Is a divine supply? Do you remember when Ruth, we read in the book of Ruth, how she talks about how that over there when she was reaping in the field and she's got all that he had put out there for her, and then come back home and she was just loaded down. They said, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" He had put all that, he had just blessed her, just gave her extra supply. She wasn't just necessarily finding that was left in the corners of the field. He put that out there for her. Listen, that's a blessing from God. It's a divine supply. That's God saying, here. Well, if God is giving us something, then surely it is a divine supply. Something that we did not have before. Maybe we had a small amount of. Maybe like the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But now all of a sudden, it's more abundant than just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus, as he was alone praying, he was always praying before them, teaching his disciples. He was always praying before them. He asked them, "Whom say the people that I am?" Now here is the inescapable question that every person needs to really answer in their heart. And it's the answer that must be made. You must know it. It's the answer, listen to me, it is the answer that divides real salvation from just mere religion. It is the answer that devils do not want to speak. It is, who am I? Whom do men say that I am? Whom say the people that I am? John wrote of it in 1 John, 2 John, about Jesus, about knowing that Jesus is the Christ, the God of heaven come in the flesh. Amen? The Christ, the Savior of the world. And so Jesus said, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering, "John the Baptist." But some say, "Elias." Others say, "One of the old prophets has risen again." all stellar answers as far as religion's concerned. He said unto them, "Whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." You have to get that in your... Listen, if you're going to serve Him, if you're going to be His disciple, you need to know who He really is. He is the Christ of God. Listen, He's not just a mere man. He's not just a Bible character now. He's not even John the Baptist or Moses or even Abraham. This one that you and I serve, He is the Christ of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is Lord and Master, the King of Kings. He's the one worth serving. He's the one worth following. He is He that liveth and was dead, and behold, He is alive. And He straightly charged them, commanded them to tell no man that thing. Now, have they got it in their heart who it is that they're serving? Saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day." And He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." There's a daily duty to follow Him. There's the self-denial, cross-bearing discipleship that Christ is asking out of those that would come and follow Him. Daily. You can't put it off on Friday night. You can't put it off any other time. This is a daily thing if you're going to follow Him. Listen, the disciples went out and healed the sick and fed the multitudes and cast out devils. And when they were tired, they wanted everybody to go home. And Jesus said, "It doesn't stop when you're tired." We're following Him. We're following the Divine One. We're following the Christ of God. No wonder the older men of God back in the early 1900s and even 18 and 17 and 1600, no wonder those men would give themselves holy days at a time without sleep, going on the strength and the power that the Holy Spirit would render to them. Preaching for hours and hours and hours and hours. And when it was over, more multitudes came beckoning to them, "Preach the word." And they would come back exhausted and preach again this Christ of God from the Scripture for hours and hours. That's the way it began. Paul did. Preached through the night. I wonder if we could be transported back through the early church when it was that they quit preaching through the night and it started just going for, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours before they dismissed. And wonder when it got back down to about 3 or 4 hours, and when it got down to 2, and now we can't hardly handle 30 minutes of it at a stretch. Amen? But oh, there's so much to say about Him. Amen? Maybe that is why that they have, in this generation, so many that knows nothing of Him, and the many others that say they would follow, but they do not. It's because they are not getting enough diet of the Christ of God in their life. He said, follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. There is gain through loss. Gain of life through loss of life. Two different lives I'm talking about. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's. Listen, Jesus, I've got to hurry. He took them to the transfiguration. He came to pass, verse 28, 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, true disciples, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But the ones that cast out devils and healed sick were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood by him. But they missed some things. You see the difference in the two men that was with Jesus and the disciples just as they're getting started? It's like the difference in seasoned men and babes. Seasoned followers of Christ and babes in Christ. That's the difference. They had it. They had the touch about them, Brother Jerry Lee. They had as much of the Holy Spirit working in their life as Moses and Elias had with them. But it was the time spent. I think it's the time spent. We want the power of God. When I get saved, instantly, when God called me to preach, I instantly wanted what those older men of God I saw in their life, and you could see. And what kept them walking when the snow was blowing and the wind was contrary and the water was coming in their boats. How they kept sailing and kept rowing and how I just went to sleep. That's the difference in longevity of servitude. You serve every day. You're consistent and you're constant and you build strength of faith. You build strength of faith. I've got to go on. Listen, they saw the two men that stood with him. And then verse 33, it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said. You just now, a few days before, said, Thou art the Christ of God. Moses ain't the Christ of God. Elias ain't the Christ of God. Why would they get a temple right next to the Christ of God's temple? He didn't know what he was talking about. I don't think he still really saw Jesus the way he needed to see him. He said it. But I'm just me. I'm just wondering if he really in his heart. Because if he's the Christ of God, listen, there's none beside him. That's what the Bible said. There's none beside him. Amen. I'd be like Moses and Elias, get in line, I'll get behind you. But that's the Christ of God. Amen. Listen, when you see him for who he is, for his divineness, being God, being the one worthy of our worship, worthy of our dedication. That's what the temples were all about, dedication and reverence. Well, he's the only one worthy of reverence. Worthy of a temple dedicated to his name. Only him. It came to pass on the next day, they were come down from the hill. Much people met him. There was a boy that was possessed with the devil, and the disciples, you know, they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." That was verse 41. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father, doing what normal man was not ready or could not do. Jesus again spoke of his death. In verse 43, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Now he had given them the same touch. But while they wondered, every one, at all the things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, "Let these things sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not. These men that could cast out devils, heal sick, ran into a boy possessed with a devil that they could not help, and a multitude that they could not feed. And they have the divine word of God that they are constantly unable to comprehend. The more you and I comprehend God's word, I mean understand it, to really understand what it's saying, and you let that sink down into your spiritual ears, it changes you. I'm being honest. Of all the years I've read this Bible, of all the stories I could tell you about in this book, of all the passages that God might let me quote, you know what this has done for me more than anything? More than any other thing. It has helped me to see Jesus more and more and more who he really truly is. And I didn't just make that up to go along with the message. The more I pray, the more I read this book, the more I understand it, the more I see him for who he is. Then there arose a reasoning among them which should be the greatest. Fleshly. Which of us is going to be the greatest? Jesus said, "He that's least among you all, the same shall be greatest." Christ is the master. It's not up for me to try to be greater above someone else. Christ is the master. He wants us to be servants. He's not wanting us to be see who can be greater. He's wanting us to see who can be his servant. Concentrate on being his servant instead of trying to be great. The Samaritans rejected Jesus. It's untelling what Jesus would have done. He sent messengers into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they didn't receive him, verse 53. Because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Well, he had to go to Jerusalem. What, were they so offended at him because he was going to pass through Samaria and then go on to Jerusalem to be crucified? He had to be crucified there. And the disciples said this, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down out of heaven and consume them? And he turned and rebuked them. And he said, the Son of Man's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They've not even seen him. No wonder they didn't understand his words about going and dying. He's going and dying to be the Savior of men. Here they are talking about burning men up. Jesus said, you don't understand what you're saying. One place he said, you know not what spirit you're of. Then Jesus came to the high cost of discipleship. If they were ever going to follow him, if they're ever going to understand his word, if they're ever going to see him the way they need to see him and follow him. Jesus said in verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Which means when you say, I will follow thee, you have put your hand to the plow. There's no taking it off. And it's going with him if it means going with him to the cross. I've got family that I need to go tell. I've got somebody dead that I need to bury. Take your hands off. He told them over there, he said to the one, he said, let the dead bury their dead. But now they wasn't useless. He said, but go and preach the kingdom of God. Just go do what you can do. They wasn't going to be following him. They might could share the message some, but they wasn't going to be following him. Because he had places he was going right then. And they were never going to be right there with him like that again. So he could go and do it. He could go take care of his family. And he could go preach the kingdom of God some, but he wasn't going to be where Jesus was. You can be a Christian. You can be saved. You can smile at people and love people. You can invite people to church. And you'll go to heaven. Or you can be one of them that walks right where Jesus walks every day. You can be in his presence, doing what he wants you to do. Seeing him, really seeing him as he is. knowing things about him that others wouldn't know. Only John knows what those things that he said could be written, that the books of the world wouldn't be able to hold them. I don't know about them things. I wasn't there with him, Brother Danny, but John was. He could write about them if he wanted to, because he was there. I want you to stand. Bless your heart.